Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Would you grab your Bibles and go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Last time I was with you, we were working through spiritual warfare, the joy that God has given us to battle. And I'm going to take a break from that since it's Palm Sunday. We're going to look at a little more of how God's Word impacts our life, to prepare our hearts to receive His Word. So, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, we have this being said. It says, "So that He may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word." Now, Lord, would you allow your Word to go forth and accomplish what you have purposed in your heart today? We want to be people that tremble at your word, that turn our ear to hear what you are saying. Cause us to be like Joshua and Caleb that did exploits because they trusted you. And I just thank you for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when you, one of the greatest joys I had in my younger years is when I was studying the Greek New Testament, I ended up discovering that the way that the Greek is used, this might be a little dry, the way the Greek is used, words that are taken out of the original language and put in English don't have the impact. Like the word love, there's three words for the word love, but it can only be translated love. Well, that's the same thing when you come to this idea of the term word in the Bible. So there are two Greek words for the word word. They actually have a distinction. And if you read a passage thinking it means one thing, you won't get the impact or the emphasis if you don't see this. And so, I'll give you the first concept that we have in Scripture. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." That word for word in the Greek is the word logos. And the definition of logos means, that really it means a statement, an argument, or the logic of something. Now, why is that important? Well, when God speaks His Word to us, He's arguing, in a sense, presenting an argument. He's also making a statement, "This is what I'm like." It's also, if you want to know what the thoughts of God are, they come from His Word. And so Jesus is the exact representation of who God is because He's the Word incarnate. He's what God thinks about things. He's God's logic. That's how God thinks when you look at Jesus. Now, when we say that, it's very important that you understand that. It doesn't carry the idea that these are just simple words that are nonsense. They're actually words that form the universe and create the structure of everything. So when God's doing what He does, He speaks His Word. His Word is also His Son. And we see God's logic in everything that He speaks. Then we have a word called a rhema, a rhema word. Now, you have to understand this. That the whole entire Bible that we have right now comes from this Greek word, rhema. The definition of a rhema word means it's a living word. Now, that means that everything God speaks, He speaks as a rhema, and we get the logos from it. And so, all the prophecies of the Bible, all the ways that God speaks to us, it's called a rhema word. Now, why is that so important? Because I defined it as a living word. Now, what do we mean by a living word today? A living word means that it is spoken, it's dynamic, and whatever is spoken in a situation, it transforms it. It releases life to you. And so, this is why the Bible begins to say how important it is to hear God, to hear God's words towards you, because they're just not conversational. They're transformational. Now, let's go back to Ephesians here, and let's look at the passage, and let me show you what Greek word is being used in this passage here. It says, "So that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the rhema." Now, I used to think for years that meant, so for people to get cleansed, to get whole, I need to just quote Scripture at them all the time. The passage actually isn't saying that at all. The passage is saying, how does God sanctify us? And I'll define that word here in a moment. How does God actually sanctify us and make us whole? He washes us by a living word consistently being spoken to us. This actually fulfills what Jesus said when He was being tempted by the devil. He says, "Look, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. And so now we find out that life comes by a living, dynamic word. Now look at this passage closely with me. It says that Jesus wants to sanctify us and wash us through rhemas. That means that the day of stale, almost formulaic, philosophical discussion of Scripture isn't what Jesus is looking for. Jesus is looking to come in the midst of his people and give a living word to us and through us to each other so that we can be sanctified. Now, by the way, the word sanctified, if you guys have ever studied it, a lot of people actually think it means purity. By the way, the Bible has no problem using the word purity to define purity. Sanctified doesn't mean that. Sanctified means not only to be set apart. A lot of people get that right when they say that's what it means, but it goes a little farther than that. It means to be set apart to the original intent of what you were created to do. And so when I sanctify something, like if I build a car and it's supposed to run with gasoline, the car is sanctified when it's running properly with gasoline. So now the Bible's coming to you and I and saying, now, here's what God has done. You are created in the very image of God. Because of our ancestors falling and their rebellion, Christ has come now to redeem us. And what he is in the process of doing is he's given you a living, dynamic word. You heard it the first time when he called you by name, and he's continually doing this. And in that process, he's setting you apart to be what you were originally created to be. But catch the impact. It comes from a living word that this takes place. And God wants a living word being expressed through you and I. Now, I'm going to get into how that happens, but I want us to see the impact of how important this is for the Lord to do this in our lives. Back in 1994, I was on staff with another ministry, and we were invited to go out to California. And during what was going on in the churches that we were going to at the time was this thing called the Toronto Blessing. And if you don't know what that is, I encourage you to go do some research on it. We go to this church, and we land, and I thought it was kind of funny. You guys, I have some of these experiences. I can actually write a book. It's so full of comedy, some of the things that people do in the body of Christ. But the minute we landed, we were met by four guys and five girls. They were the ones picking us up so we could go to the meeting. And before they would take us to get our luggage, we actually had a minister to each one of them. Can you imagine? Then we get in the car, and we're driving to the church, and they're wanting us to interpret their dreams and do stuff like that. And we go into this meeting at Mott Auditorium. If you know what Mott Auditorium is, you know Mott Applesauce?
Yeah.
They bought an auditorium in Pasadena, California. This church was raining to have these meetings. We walk into the meetings, and there was an Asian community that was doing the meetings, and they started at 8 in the morning and went to midnight every night. We were there for a week. It was exhausting. Oh, my goodness. If we weren't just stuffing ourselves with Chinese food, we were in meetings for 4 or 5 hours. About the fourth day of it, I actually had to go to the back of the sanctuary and expand my back so my stomach could stretch from all the rice and Chinese food that I was eating. And the only way that I wouldn't have someone actually minister to me or have me minister to them is I'd have to go sit in a seat and close my eyes and act like I was praying. That was the only time I could get a break. And so I actually went over to a seat. I was sitting there. And in my terms, they had those old theater seats that they used to have in high schools and stuff. They're absolutely uncomfortable if you've ever sat down. And so I'm trying to figure out how to relax. And I closed my eyes. And I had this experience. I've never had anything like this before, but this has shown me the power of a rhema word. I had this experience where one of the pastor's wives comes up to me and kind of puts her hands on my head and starts telling me stuff about what's going on in my life right now and where God was taking me in the future. And while I'm watching this scene in my head, I'm going, this is ridiculous. I mean, what a weird imagination I have. I'm actually saying those things. I get done and I open my eyes, and the minute I open my eyes, here comes the pastor's wife. She slaps me on the head and says verbatim what I just saw. After that happened, the power of God hit me, And it was so strong that I literally, I don't even want to try to imitate what it did, but I launched out like this from the chair and hit the stage in front of me and collapsed on the ground. Okay, so everyone, this is my wife. Hey! Hi, sweetie. And I realized how powerful God's Word was, a living, dynamic Word. I've never experienced anything like that, and yet here it was. Now, the amazing thing was, is God was giving me a dramatic illustration of what a living Word looked like, but the effect of it was almost immediate. When God spoke to me, all of a sudden, these things that I was afraid to step into, these things that I was afraid to believe God in, all of it, when he spoke his word to me, it's like it just, like something just broke open in my chest. And the next day, I just woke up full of faith that God wanted to do these things with. So God's living word comes in very constantly to you at very strategic times to just set you apart to what God has created to be. Yeah, I agree. Amen. All right. And so, when we look at this idea, how do rhema words come to us? Now, they actually come more simply than we actually believe. A lot of people believe, well, you've got to have like a powerful encounter, and this kind of stuff has to happen. We, as Christians, say this is true. We actually have God being with us. Now, God is not taking a nap inside of us. He's not silent. He's trying to communicate all the time. What we find is that most people struggle with the idea of how God speaks. Now, a couple months ago, I was in Council Rock teaching, and I was teaching on words of knowledge and what words of wisdom were. And so I went back to the original language and started looking at it a little more closely. And I had never caught this for years. We have words of knowledge and words of wisdom, but the phrase for word isn't a rhema. It's funny. It's actually another word, and it's called the thought that becomes a word of knowledge. A thought that becomes a word of wisdom. So how does God speak to us? He puts thoughts in our mind. Just as simply as that. And the idea isn't that God isn't speaking to us. The idea is that we don't recognize it, so we usually miss it. And so God's putting thoughts in our head. So how does God do this? As we read Scripture. Sometimes a certain Scripture, we just feel like it applies to our life. That's a rhema. We come into company, and this has happened to me I don't know how many times, where I'm trying to figure out a problem. I go hang out with someone in the body of Christ, and I'm not even telling them my problems. I'm just talking to them about life. And it's all like, in a moment, God's voice comes into that person. They say something to me, and I realize, oh, they don't even know what they're talking about, but God has just answered my question. So God uses us just to speak rhema. And then we have words of knowledge and words of wisdom. We also find out God gives us rhema through visions. Now, if you're here, this is one of your first times or you've never experienced this, I'll just describe what a vision is. Every one of us has an ability to see an image in our mind. No one is exempt from this. And because God can give us thoughts come like three different ways, or what we would call a sense of God speaking to us. They come as pictures in our mind, they come as a voice or a phrase, or they come as we feel something. Those are all thoughts from God's heart. One, you feel it, one, you see it, one, you hear it. Now, the good thing is that you're actually experiencing this right now. We have to learn how to recognize it, but not have to get it imparted to us, because it has been imparted to us through the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to show you the process that God does by giving us his living rhema, or his word, all the time. When God gives us his thoughts, or his phrase, we would say a rhema has been expressed. After a rhema has been expressed, we are enjoying grace. Remember, God's voice and God's grace are connected. And so when God speaks, grace is available. It's literally like, the only way I know how to say it is, you have this bank account in heaven. And the only way that you access it is God's voice. When God speaks something to you, all of a sudden, you have access to everything he was talking to you about, which means his power to accomplish that thing that he spoke to you. And so when God speaks to me, it's living. It creates a dynamic of grace in my life so that this thing that he's spoken can cause an effect And then what happens is, God's voice isn't random. God's voice is on purpose. And what I mean by that is, when he speaks to us, whether we understand it or not, grace is released to us, and then we step into a, I'll use a phrase I used last night, a learning circle, and we gain knowledge of what God is doing in our life. Now, how many of you had God speak something to you and you went, well, I understood it, but what are you talking about? Now, in Isaiah 46, verse 11, hopefully this will help you about how God does stuff. It says that God is, there's no other God like the God of Israel, knowing the end from the beginning. And so that actually means that since God is above time, he actually sees what he wants to happen in your life, and then he comes to you at a specific time and he talks to you about it. It's like, in a sense, it's like a garden, and he's planting a seed because he knows when it's going to be at full maturity. And when he says it to you, most of the time, if you guys are like, I am, when God speaks to me, I'm like, well, what does that apply to? Right? But as I'm being nurtured by grace, that's the soil and the watering, and as God keeps speaking to me, all of a sudden I understand where he's going with it, and then I see him producing it in my life. This is what the Lord is doing in your life and in my life when it comes to his word. And so, this is the mystery that most of us struggle with, but it's actually the mystery that Jesus calls us to enjoy. Receiving words, now this is fun, receiving words, knowing it's the Lord, but not knowing where it's going, and enjoying the mystery of watching God produce that inside of us. Now, I love when Jesus talked to the disciples, as we go back to Palm Sunday, do you remember when Jesus said, now look, I got a lot to tell you, but you can't bear it? And then he said the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to tell you what you need to know. I really appreciate that about Jesus, because most of the stuff that Jesus said, you can see from the original 12, they're like, what are you talking about? Even after they understood it, they didn't get it. I mean, they're just so incredible to watch. I'm so grateful for them, because it makes me feel a lot better about me being confused about everything. Now let me explain this process of God's word coming and how God wants you to turn your heart in response to it. I had gone down to Guatemala again. Now, this wasn't me doing a trip. I was on staff somewhere else. And lo and behold, I was cautioned not to drink the water. You guys ever heard that? Don't drink the water. I have to go south of Pueblo. And so I went down there. And so I knew that. And so I just ate Coke. I just drank Coke all day long. I brushed my teeth with Coke. Awesome. And make sure, you know. And we were staying at a hotel and we'd eat our breakfast. And one day, I'm not paying attention and I ordered a salad. Now, I don't know why I didn't think through it, but they're going to wash the salad with water. Right? So I'm just chowing down the salad. Hey, we're running off to the meeting. An hour into the meeting, this really cool phenomenon started happening. I liken it to a term called Montezuma's Revenge. And so, both myself and the son of the person that we were traveling with, both of us got Montezuma's Revenge at the same time. Now, here's what was fun. The only time we didn't have a sense of almost wanting to vomit and do some other things is when we were in the meeting with the presence of the Lord. The minute the meeting would stop, both of us would look at each other. It was like this weird phenomenon, and our stomachs would just erupt, and we'd race each other to the bathroom. So I actually wanted to be in meetings the whole entire time. I came back home, and I didn't get over it. And so I started going through this process of trying to get resolved. Now, if you guys, many of you ever gotten sick and want to get better, and you just try everything? So I went through the scripture, and Paul talked about drinking wine. Now, I don't drink wine. But I was so sick, I thought, well, why not? And so one night I drank enough wine, my wife wasn't there, but I drank enough wine, I basically just lay in my bed, acting like a teenager, being ridiculous, making stupid sounds, hoping my stomach was better, and that didn't work. Okay, so I go to the doctor, and he goes, oh, it's not a big deal, let me give you antibiotics. So he gives me one round of antibiotics, it doesn't work. And I get another round of antibiotics, and it doesn't work. And lo and behold, in the middle of having the antibiotics going on, I went through four rounds of antibiotics, and it just ripped through my colon. So as it was just tearing my insides up because he forgot to tell me to eat yogurt, I'm struggling with that. And then all of a sudden, out of my stomach hurting and finally getting over it, it inflamed my lower back where I was in extreme pain, and I had this major inflammation that was a sciatic nerve problem to the point where it was just so painful, I lay in bed crying at night. And I'm like, all I wanted to do was go on this ministry trip and just look at this. We're 3 months into goofing around with this thing, and it's not getting any better. So, I don't know if you guys are like I am. I'm always telling everybody, gosh, I'm just so desperate to hear from the Lord, but most of the time I just don't pay attention at all until my life's almost at the end, and then I go, what do you think? So after I did all my stuff, I finally said, Lord, I mean, seriously, are you getting on me, or is this a game? I mean, I don't get this. What are you doing? And then the Lord said, well, Brian, why don't you ask me how I want to heal you? And I had never thought of that. And so, is that weird? Because everyone tells you how they get healed, so you just tell the Lord, I want that one. And so, when he said it, I turned my heart and I said, okay, well, God, how do you want to heal? And I thought he'd say, well, I'm going to have Gabriel appear to you, and he's going to poke you, and that'll be it. Or you're going to go to this meeting, and they're going to say 3 or 4 words in Ajin. And he didn't tell me any of that. He tells me this thing. He goes, now, Brian, just like when you went to the doctor and you had to take antibiotics 3 times a day, I want you 3 times a day to lay hands on your back, command, invite my presence, and command the pain to leave until I heal you. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had these encounters. One, was that really the Lord? So I prayed some more about it, had peace, I knew it was the Lord, so I couldn't get past that. Two, I thought, why do I have to do this? And lo and behold, I'm reading the Old Testament right where a king has leprosy, has come to Elijah, and the king's upset, not the king, the general's upset, because he wanted Elijah to just wave his hand or say a word, but because he told him to dunk himself in the river 7 times, he was offended by that. And I'm reading that while I'm going through this, and God's going, Brian, you're just acting the exact same way, because I told you to do it differently. You're offended with how I want to restore you. So, you guys ever have God tell you to do stuff, and if you told anybody else, you'd feel ridiculous? So I hid myself in the closet to start this process. And I literally put my hand on my back, and I'm in the closet doing this. And I'm making sure my family's not around me, and I'm literally in the corner of the closet so no one can see me, and I'm starting to do this, right? The first 3 days of doing it, I just felt ridiculous. Nothing was going on. I'm still on the side of pain. I'm crying at night because my back's hurting so much and my leg's inflamed. And we're 2 weeks into this, and now, I don't know if you guys saw the guy, I'm getting mad at the Lord. Was that, I mean, really, was that you? No. Two and a half weeks into it, you know that thing called do it by faith? And ever since God told me to do this, it's not working, but I'm going to stay. So I lay my hands on my back. Holy Spirit, come. And I command the pain in my back to stop right now in the name of Jesus, and I command my back to be restored. And I'm just saying it. It's literally not just words coming out of my mouth. I don't even think God is going to do it, right? Now, this is what's fun about brains, is they test you. And about 2.5 weeks in, I felt a lifting, about 10% of the pain lifting off my back. And because it kind of worked up to 2 weeks, and you guys, most of you guys are saying, 2 weeks, what a wimp. I'm dealing with stuff for 10 years. I'm just a baby, but this is my experience at this point. So the next day, I'm doing it again. I noticed about maybe 1 or 2% more, and I'm realizing that it's lessening as I'm laying down at night. So we're 3, 4, 5 weeks into it, and I'm noticing that there's an effect starting to happen from God's Word. Finally, I started realizing it was work, and so I actually stopped paying attention to how my body felt, and I started getting into the process of it. Now I actually got out of the closet. I still didn't do it in front of my kids, but I didn't hide there in shame. Now I'm just putting my hands on my back, Holy Spirit, would you come? I command this pain to lift off, and I just command the sciatic nerve to just stop being inflamed. And about 5 weeks into it, I'm getting up to start this process, because it's literally like taking a pill, and I'm about to put my hand on my back, and I realize, oh my goodness, the pain is gone. Now, have you ever prayed for anybody that's been injured or sick? This is always fun. The minute they get healed, they try to re-injure their body. So I was really jerking around and trying to roll around on the ground to do all this other stuff. And it actually took me 3 days to acknowledge that I was actually healed that right there after 4 or 5 weeks. But it actually took me 3 days to acknowledge it. Because I thought if I said, I think I'm healed, it was going to come back on me, and I was going to get used to it. You guys like I am? And so God's word proved itself to me. But I found out that it was living, but it was living as long as I stayed in agreement with it. Think about this. Words from God are like promises. Promises get fulfilled as I stay in agreement and alignment with them. They don't just get fulfilled because they're out there. And so when God is beginning to speak living words to us, we find that he not only talks to us about who we are, he starts giving us his indication of how he wants to do something in our lives, and he wants to show himself that his word can set us and sanctify us apart for him. Okay. Now, with all that being said, all right, so Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you on this day that you would come and minister to us. That we enjoy you and you enjoy us. And we just bless you. Now for everyone here, Holy Spirit, come and rest powerfully upon them. And things that I couldn't even deal with or cover, I ask that you would extend your hand to them right now and help them. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face to you and give you rest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.